So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Gospel of St. Luke. I want to talk to you this morning about why do you look for the living among the dead? And before I begin, I want to relay a story that I have not experienced, but have heard. Years ago, a pastor at a very small church was having an Easter egg hunt after church. They were having the Easter egg hunt. That's the way they used to do it years ago. You'd come in your Sunday best, then you'd have an Easter egg hunt after the Easter service, and then all the kids would mess up all their Easter clothes. How many remember those? Yeah? And so before they gave out the prize eggs and things like that, they decided to talk to the kids and make sure that they understood what the meaning of Easter was all about, what the resurrection was. So he gathered the children together, and he asked them, because he wanted them to have a grasp of it, he began asking them, why do we celebrate Easter? Why do we celebrate it? And one little boy said, well, because we celebrate the Easter Bunny. He said, no. He said, another little boy, he raised his hand. Well, why do we celebrate it? He goes, well, because we get candy. He was like, man, he's getting distraught. But finally, a little boy said, well, we celebrate Easter because Jesus bled and died and was crucified for our sins. And he rose on the third day. This pastor's pride began to swell up within him, also because it was his child who was saying what was up. So as his pride swelled, though, it was deflated as his child continued on. That Jesus was resurrected on the third day and came out of the cave, and that means we're going to have 6 more weeks of winter. I'm here to tell you that he came out of the cave, he came out of the grave, but it ain't 6 more weeks of winter. It is freedom, it is joy unspeakable, it is full of glory. And I, for one, am thankful that he came out of that grave. Amen? In the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 23, it reads like this. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. So I want you to catch it. They saw what was happening. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. Now, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid, they bowed their faces to the earth. And they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee. These angels were saying, do you remember what the Lord said to you? I pray that in the next few days, I hope you remember what I say. I'm trying to help you. Saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And the verse 8 says, and they remembered his word. I'm excited today. Thank you, musicians. I'm excited today to know that Jesus rose on the third day. I'm excited today to know that you can go to all of the great Christians or all the great religions in the world, and you can find their leaders' bones. But you can't find the bones of Jesus because he's not in the grave. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He is alive and he is well. Now, but I want to talk to you for a moment. Why did they go looking for the living among the dead? Because here's the deal. They were no different than millions of Muslims who stopped by at Medina on their way to Mecca to visit the tomb of the great prophet Muhammad. However, let me just say about the Muhammad prophet, he's still there. His bones are still there, but Jesus is not. Because the difference was these ladies' prophet, which was Jesus, wasn't dead. They went hoping to finish the process. Because when they would put these spices on the body of a dead person, it would help preserve the body and cause it not to decay in such a fast manner as normal. But when they got there to do their diligence, to do their service, to show their love for this teacher that said he was a prophet and said that he was a Messiah, when they got there to do this, they did not find his body. He was not there. Can I just say that if your teacher tells you that he's the prophet and the Messiah and he's not, then he's not a good teacher. There are some people who look at Jesus and say, he was a good prophet, he was a good teacher. No, because this teacher, if he was not the Messiah, then he was a lying teacher and a lying prophet. But he was the Messiah, and he is the Messiah. So at least these ladies went. They might have forgotten what he said in Jerusalem, but at least they went to fulfill their service. However, it's sad to say that when they got there, they did not realize that what he said was true. So therefore, they went in, and the angels of the Lord said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" So sad to say that Jesus might have to go looking for people instead of people looking for Jesus. I'm glad you're here today to celebrate the resurrection. I'm glad you're here today to celebrate the fact that you are still looking for Jesus. I have found him, but I'm still looking to get closer to him. Come on, somebody. Would Jesus have to go looking for you? That's the question. Does Jesus have to go looking for you, or does he know where you're at? Regretfully, we don't always have the willingness to seek him out because we're too busy in life. Now, here's point one. The fact that Jesus had risen from the dead should not have been a surprise to these people. How many of us, and don't raise your hand, it's a trick question, but how many of us pray and then God answers our prayer and we're surprised? I can't believe what God did. Well, didn't God say, asking you shall receive? Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. Wasn't it Jesus that said, if you seek for me, you will find me? But the angels told the women, remember what he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. If they really believed him, they would not have showed up with spices. They would have showed up with ready to worship and celebrate the risen Savior. Some of us are in that same situation that we think and we believe with our mouth and with our head that God's going to do it. But we don't believe with our heart. Why? Because we don't live like it. We don't talk like it. And we try to do everything ourselves instead of understanding that our job is to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and his job is to fight the battle. Come on, somebody. Why did they doubt his word? Why did they doubt his word? Why were they living as though Jesus was dead? I suppose the same question could be asked of us. Why do we sometimes carry around the guilt of our sins even though Jesus has forgiven them? Some of us, well, I'll tell you one reason, because people won't let us forget it. Bump your neighbor, say he's talking to you right now. Sometimes people won't let us forget our sin. But we don't have to carry that burden. We don't have to carry that sin. If we've asked God to forgive us of our sin, then we can be cleansed. Now, let me just go ahead and be real with you. Some people will never get over what you did. Thank God they're not Jesus. Thank God they're not God. Amen? You can only do what you can do. You know how sincere that you are. And thank God that they might not get over it. But I refuse to stay back here with people trying to keep me in the cave when Jesus came out of the cave just so I could come out of the cave. Yes, sir. So why do we sometimes doubt God's promises? As though he isn't serious about them or he isn't able to do what he said he would do. When we do these things, we're essentially living as though Jesus was dead. How many of us are living? It's not just, listen guys, this is not just a good fictional book. It is a book that you can live by. It's a book that you can die by. Matter of fact, if you die by the book, you shall be with him. Come on. The story is told of a time when the great Martin Luther was feeling depressed. Life had gotten him down. And one day his wife dressed in black and went about her chores for the day. And when her husband asked her if she was going to a funeral, she said, no. But since you act as though God is dead, I thought that I would join in the mourning. Exactly what he needed to hear. Exactly what we need to hear as well. The words of the angels, why do you look for the living among the dead? Listen, I could get down about the mully grubs. We could talk about the world situation. And we could talk about the national situation. We could talk about state and county and city situations. But I come by to tell you that one day all of that's going to pass away. Here's what I can tell you. I'm not going to act like Jesus is dead when I know that he's alive. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Why do we sometimes live as though Jesus were dead? Here's why, regretfully, we're more often concerned about the here and now rather than the hereafter. You will live hereafter somewhere. You will spend eternity somewhere. This is not the end of it. It is the beginning of it. Understand, when things are going well, we sometimes forget that our blessings come from God. When things are going good, We don't give God praise, but when things aren't going well, we tend to blame God. We tend to fail to thank God for caring enough about us, even through the bad times. Sometimes we feel like that during the bad times that God is away, and during the good times God is close. May I tell you that I believe that many times God is nearer when we're going through the bad times because he knows what we need even before we know we need it. So I refuse to act like he's dead. Jesus tells us that apart from him, we can do nothing. But having a living Savior, having a living Savior doesn't mean that you're guaranteed a wonderful life. If you came to know Jesus back in the 90s, there was a doctrine that went around that said, if you come to know Jesus, you'll just tiptoe to the tulips. Everything's going to go your way. And then you got saved and it didn't go that way. You started seeking God and it didn't go that way. Can I tell you that it don't always go that way? Matter of fact, the devil is not happy about your decision to serve Christ. The devil is not happy for you to act like that Jesus is alive. Matter of fact, he wants to kill you, destroy you. But Jesus said in John 10:10, I come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. So I refuse to act like he's dead because I know that he's alive and I'm going to enjoy my life. I may have to go through some dark times, but I know it's just a cave. It might be 2 days, 3 days, I don't know. But I know that I'm coming out because if Jesus came out of the cave of death, then I can come out of any cave that I might find myself in as long as I hold on to his unchanging hand. Point number two is simply this. They didn't find what they were looking for in the graveyard. Now, I've been pastoring quite a while now. The women didn't leave the tomb that Friday evening planning to come back to the tomb on Sunday filled with Easter lilies and choirs of angels singing all 8 verses of I Know My Redeemer Lives. They didn't come back expecting to see flowers blooming. They didn't come back because why? Even though they heard the words of Jesus, they did not receive them. They headed to the tomb expecting to find the dead. I'm a pastor. And when I go to the graveyard, I go there expecting to find dead people. I mean, hopefully not above the ground. But I go there knowing that people are dead. Usually when I go to the gravesite, when I do funerals, and I've done many funerals, and let me just say, and I don't mean to take this light, I did two of them last week, but I've done many funerals over my 30 years of pastoring, but can I tell you that everybody that I buried has stayed buried. Nobody has risen. And so when I go to a graveyard, I expect to see dead people. If you go to the mortuary, you expect to see dead folks. Amen? So I can tell you this. These women who came to Jesus' tomb that Sunday morning was expecting to find dead in the graveyard. However, they found something that was alive. They went looking for the dead, but they found something that was alive. They were expecting to see a dead man lying in a grave, wrapped in a shroud. They expected him to be dead. They expected him to stay dead. They brought spices with them to anoint his body so it would prolong the decomposing of his body. To them, he wasn't the risen Messiah. He was a dead rabbi. They looked for him among the dead, but he wasn't dead. Just as he had said, he went in the grave, but 3 days he came out by the power of the Holy Spirit. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. But here's the crux. Here's the rub. These women went into a graveyard expecting to find death, but found life because Jesus was there. But point number three is this. What graveyard are you in trying to find life? Now, they went into a graveyard looking for death but found life. But how many knows that unless Jesus was in that graveyard, you're not going to find life? And there are too many people who have often done the same thing with their own lives, because we seek the living among the dead. We seek life among those things that only lead to death. You know, we get on a path and we're surprised where the path leads us. We get on a road and we're surprised. Now listen, I ride a Harley, and so sometimes I get on a road not knowing where it's going to go. But as long as I got gas, I'm all right, because I'll just turn around and go the other direction. I like to find out where the roads go. But when I'm going to a certain place, which is life, that's where I want to live, I'm going to make sure that I stay off the roads that are marked death. Listen, me and Gypsy, one of the guys I ride with sometimes, we were going to go up to Chiefland, but I wanted to take a different route, so I got on Google Maps, and I looked down, and I saw this road running through the forest, and I told Gypsy about it. He goes, I've never been on that road. I said, man, let's do it. Now, I ride a Harley Ultra Classic, which is about 900 pounds of bike, and so we get to that road, and as we pull into that road, I said, all right, here's where it says it's supposed to be. We pull to that road, and it's a dirt road. Now, those of you who don't know about anything about riding a Harley, a street bike, you don't go down a dirt road on a street bike weighing 900 pounds. Not me, the bike. So I was like, man, what? So Gypsy looked at me. He goes, I don't feel comfortable. I said, you've been riding longer than I've been alive. I don't feel comfortable either then. And we ain't going down. And so I saw the road, and I knew that the road would lead to a wreck. Probably Gypsy, not me. But anyway, you understand what I'm saying? I looked at the road and I said, I can't find what I'm looking for on this road. But how many of us go into a graveyard, or we get into a road that we think is going to lead to life, however it leads to death? When we're unhappy and unfulfilled, we tell ourselves, well, maybe one more drink could do it for me. Can I tell you, you're looking for life in a graveyard. Well, maybe just one more toke on the joint. Maybe just one more glass of wine. Maybe just one more whatever, you fill in the blank. Maybe just one more affair. Maybe one more relationship. Maybe one more one night stand. And all of those are graveyards. Well, we say, well, maybe if I just stuff, Christians don't want to hear this part. Maybe if I just stuff myself with food. Hey, You were doing good about them drugs and alcohol stuff, but stay off my food. That's my only vice. Yeah, baby. Ain't nothing wrong with food. I'm going to eat some later. My wife's making some collard greens right now with some cornbread. Yes, sir. Southern. Maybe if I just buy a new car, that'll do the trick. Oh, how many of you heard this one? Well, if I just get another house, I'll be happy. What we need in our marriage is another child. Baby, you got a bad marriage. Another child ain't going to make it better. It's going to make it worse. Please do all of us a favor and don't have another one until you work out your situations. Well, maybe here's the problem. I just need to get rid of my spouse. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's the issue. I need to get rid of them. No, that's not the issue. If I didn't have these responsibilities, I know that I would have more life. No, it's not the issue. If I just make more money, no, more is not always the trick. We look for fulfillment in all of these things, but none of them work. Why? Because you're looking for the living among the dead. You know, look at your friends and look at the people you hang with. Look at the people you admire. And that will give you a insight. If you admire that, then that might be where you're headed. But don't just admire them on Facebook or Instagram. Because I promise you, first thing in the morning, my wife and I don't take a selfie right when we get up in the morning and put it on Facebook. No, we wait till we're all dressed. Matter of fact, my wife has already given me instruction between the 10 o'clock and the or between the 8 o'clock and the 10 o'clock service that I'm to meet her in the back so that we can take a family portrait. And so, and she said, and don't mess your suit up. And I told her, I'm not a child. But you might want to bring a steamer just in case. But anyway, you understand what I'm saying? You look around and you find somebody that you admire. You find somebody that is making it. You find somebody that is happy, and figure out what their answer is. And more times than not, I'll tell you what the answer is. They quit looking in the graveyard for life. And they started looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be happy. Nothing wrong with wanting to be loved. Nothing wrong with wanting to have a sense of fulfillment of life or in life. But it is futile for us to seek these things in ways which cannot possibly work. It's like seeking the living among the dead. A friend of mine told me about a man named Carl, who told him how God worked a miracle in his life. He and his wife were ready to get divorced, and they had each had affairs and had completely destroyed their trust in one another. Carl sincerely wanted to reconcile, but every attempt failed, and he and his wife just created more distance between themselves. During this time, he received an email, an advertisement with the subject line, "Revitalize Your Marriage." He's like, oh, this has got to be it. He was interested because he was trying to reconcile his marriage. So he clicked on it. It was an advertisement for Viagra. He laughed and he told my friend this. He said, the last thing my marriage needed is for me to start taking a Viagra. He and his wife also saw marriage counselors together, separately. And in a private session, his counselor told him that he should start making plans to be for a new chapter in his life as a single father. Carl's wife had scheduled an appointment with the attorney on Monday morning. As a last-ditch effort, she talked him into going to a club. No, that's not the story. She talked him into going to her parents' church. Desperate for anything, he agreed. And of all the subjects a pastor could preach on, his topic that morning was how to revitalize your marriage. And Carl said, oh no, not this again. But that morning when the pastor gave the invitation, Carl and his wife gave their lives to Jesus. And Jesus gave their marriage new life. I want to say that again. They gave their lives to Jesus. They gave their marriage to Jesus. And Jesus gave their marriage new life. But you can't experience his miraculous power if you keep going to the graveyard. Happy hour ain't going to make you happy. I like messing with waitresses when I go to a restaurant and they'll go, hey, we're in the middle of happy hour. I said, every hour is happy to me. I was on vacation a few weeks ago, I told the church, and I was astounded because they were going to raffle off an alcoholic beverage, and I said, and they said, who wants one? And everybody raised their hand but me and my family. And they looked at us like, we're weird. They said, and I had on I Love My Church t-shirt on. And they go, you don't drink? I go, I don't need to. At all? I go, I don't need to. Oh, you must smoke weed. Yeah, we're that kind of church. By God, we don't drink, but we'll get high in a heartbeat. I figured that one out. I don't know. I was like, no, man. He said, well, what do you do for fun? I said, I live life. That's what you need to do. Live life, but live it with Jesus, because he's the author and the finisher of your faith. A divorce won't take away the isolation and the hurt that you feel. An affair won't make you feel more loved. Accumulation of possessions will not increase your self-worth. Stop living in the graveyard and ask Jesus into your life. If you want to experience God's miraculous power in your life, then you have to look to the source of life, which is Jesus Christ. Are you looking for the living among the dead? That's the question that I have for you. What area of your life? What area of your life that you're experiencing death from? What area of your life that you're experiencing death, but you want life? The only answer to that is Jesus. Now you say, yeah, that's right, Pastor. You preach to them people who don't go to church. No, I'm talking to you people who are in church too. Because I know what it is to live for God but have areas of my life that don't have life in them. I know what it is to be the pastor of this church but still have areas that don't have life. And I got to make sure I don't look for them among the dead, but I got to look for it with the living. Every head bowed and every eye closed.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.